Lovely to see you all this morning. It's great to be together, isn't it? As we can just share with each other in fellowship and to share with God as well. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And this morning, we're looking at some of God's promises and what that means for us and for our lives. So let's just start and just commend this morning to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the time that we're able to just spend together this morning. Lord, we know we're not all in one building, we're all separated, but Lord, we know that you are with us. And Father, this morning, you never leave us and you never forsake us. And so Lord, as we just come together to just look at the things of you and to just worship you this morning, I pray you'll just be with us in a fantastically wonderful way. So just allow your Holy Spirit to just drop into every room that we are in this morning as we just seek your face. Amen. And this morning we're going to start by singing a song called Bless the Lord, O My Soul, Worship His Holy Name. God now, and either Matt or Maxine or both are coming to just pray with us. Thanks, guys.
What we thought we'd do this morning is that we think worship should be a moment of interaction. It's not It's not a spectator sport. So what we're going to do is we're going to have some topics. We are going to pray for some of these topics. And then we're going to leave some pauses for you to add in anything that you feel like the Lord is laid on your heart. And by this, I just mean quietly in your own hearts. I'm not asking anyone to pray out loud. I think that'd be a bit too complicated over Zoom. So we will pray for these topics, and then there will be a pause for you to add your whatever is laid on your heart in relation to those topics. Okay, I hope that's straightforward enough. So let us have a time where we pray for God's mighty hand to be at work in the world, in our country, in our families, in our communities, and in our church. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you this morning together as a fellowship like this on Zoom, and we can pray, we can petition you, we can bring our thoughts, our feelings, our fears, and everything that are on our minds to you in prayer. Oh, what a blessing that is. Heavenly Father, we're going to pray now for people around the world who are living under oppression. I think in particular at the moment, Lord, of the women of Afghanistan, as the news that the American and British troops will be withdrawing soon from that country. And there is a lot of fear going around that the Taliban may try to reinstate itself. Father, we pray that you would suppress the evil of the Taliban. We would pray that these women who have now been allowed to enter into schools and education and freedoms they've never experienced before would not have these things taken away from them, Father. We pray for your mighty hand to work powerfully in that way. We also think, Lord, for all those people around the world who are living in slavery, Lord. This was abolished in our country many, many years ago. But to our shame, it is still here. People living even today in forced labor, in fear for their lives, with every normal civil liberty we would expect, Lord, has been taken away from them. Father, we pray that these evil things would be rooted out and would be brought to an end, Father. I think also of all those who live under oppression, especially the oppressed church, Lord, in North Korea. We think of them and we say, Lord, we don't know what to do, but we know that you do. So we pray that your mighty hand would lift up and bring and liberate all those who are oppressed and living in slavery.
Father God, we think of those in the mission field. We think of those who are offering themselves up as volunteers, who are going out and working with charities of all sorts, Lord, across this world. I thank you, Father, for laying on each of their hearts a desire, Lord, a willingness to be up and motivated, to travel, to live in so very severe and deprived areas, Lord. I thank you that you call your people. I thank you your people are responding, Father God. I thank you that we have so much available to us, Lord, and there are so few who are willing. Lord, I thank you for those charities who are working with the refugees, especially currently, you know, those in Greece, Lord, and there's so many different camps, Father God. I think of the camps here, so poorly laid out, and so difficult for the refugees who come here. Father, I think of all of the funds and the money that is given, Lord, and I thank you. I thank you for stimulating people's hearts. And I pray that you continue to call your people, Father. I pray for protection over the workers who are going out. I pray for those who are fighting and lobbying in governments and parliaments for people's rights, Lord. So I lift this to you, Lord, and praise your holy name for all that you're doing.
Heavenly Father, we think about the tremendous and majestic blessing of this planet that you have created for us. You crafted it with your own hands, Lord, and you poured out your love into it so that we would have a place. So amazing, so wonderful to live in. Father, you then granted us a responsibility and said, look after what I have created because it is very good. Father, forgive us because we have not taken care of the world that you have blessed us with in the way that we should have. Father, we're sometimes overwhelmed by that responsibility. We're not sure what we can do or how we can make a change. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts and lay upon us the responsibility, the little ways, Lord, that we as individuals might be able to take care or better care of your creation. Heavenly Father, I also think of what we might be able to do as a community of Christ living together here in Desborough, the church, Lord, your people, your children we are. What might we do to show that we care and love your creation? Father, lay on our hearts what we should be doing.
Lord God, we also think this week of the royal family during this time of grieving for the Duke of Edinburgh. There are so many people who have been affected, Lord, but we very much lift to you, the Queen, and her family, Lord. The journey that now they will take, they've had such a long time together, Father God, and we know that for mothers that the gap is a very difficult one. So we pray for your peace in her heart, Lord. Your reassurance that she will be able to continue, Lord, with you beside her. Father, thank you that we came together as a country and were able to show her and the world how rightly we should grieve for this man and for his family. I lift this to you, Lord, and I thank you for all that the Queen and Philip have done for our country and our world.
Heavenly Father, we have on our hearts, I'm sure, lots of names of people and families that are at this time grieving the loss of loved ones. We're living through difficult times, Lord. COVID has really brought our mortality to the forefront of our minds, Lord. So many hearts and souls and families, Lord, empty and feeling a pain because they have lost people that they love. You are a great God of comfort. And we appeal to you, Lord. We say, comfort those who need your comfort. Bring rest to those whose hearts and minds cannot sleep, Lord, because of the grief that they're in. Bring them, Lord, your peace and your understanding. And help us, Lord, to be your willing people that would comfort and be the hands and feet in that process, Lord, of grieving and coming to terms with loss. Help us, Lord, to share the hope that comes from you with those who are feeling that kind of emptiness. We think of all those that are grieving, Lord, those loved ones.
Lord, we lift to you the prayer hub within our church family. We thank you so much, Lord, for all those who are willingly supporting the prayer hub, who are bringing things each week, who are taking the time to listen to you, Lord, and share what's on their heart. Father, we thank you for all the prayers that have been answered. Your mighty hand has shown itself so many times. We can't count how many times that you've responded to our prayers, Lord God. And we lift to you all those in the last few weeks who need your healing hand, Lord. We think of Sue Hole recovering at home. We think of Margaret Lovelock, who has moved. And Father, I ask that you bless her and bless the home that she's moved into, Lord. And all the church family, we hope, will respond and write to her. Father, we think of Richard Morris and his family after his funeral, Lord, and we think of his friends and the grief and the experiences they're going through. We think of Terry Kershaw as he settles into the rehabilitation place in Northampton, Lord, and we pray for his speedy recovery. We think of Jeff Coleman, Lord, and his ongoing treatment. And we pray, Father, that you will give him peace and take away any pain, Lord God, and that this treatment would be successful, Father. But only in your will, Lord, we ask these things. Father, we also bring to you our church family at this time. It's been difficult not being able to go into the church, not being able to meet with each other, not being able to encourage each other. There are other options, we know, Lord, and we're using Zoom, and we're meeting on Wednesdays, and we're taking time to call each other and send each other cards. But Jesus, we ask you that you would come alongside all in our church family right now whose mental health, physical health, or emotional health is being tested. For those being anger, fear, or shame, that each may be reminded of your great peace and your never-ending love as you walk and sit with us through the night and the day, as you make yourself available, hearing our every word. Jesus, you gave your life so that we would be free. All praise and glory to you, God. We lift this to you.
And Father, we recognize now the answer prayers. We want to give thanks for the power of prayer and for the promise of prayer. And we thank you, Lord, for the almighty blessing that prayer is on our lives day by day, Lord, week by week. Father, each answered prayer, no matter how small, is a reminder of your power and your presence in our lives. It is a reminder of how much you love us. It's a reminder of just how much you want to care for us and look after us, if only we would let go of our selfish ways. Father, we thank you for the hundreds and thousands and millions of answered prayers. And we wonder what the world would be like if there were no answered prayers. Oh dear, what a thought that is. But Father, you're here. Walk with us, and by the power of your Spirit, Father, I pray that you would grant us vigor and not that we would not grow weary, fresh hope that we would not be exhausted. We look to you to win new strength, Lord, that we might soar as on eagle's wings, that we would run and not grow faint, march and not grow weary. Keep us aglow with the power of your Spirit, that with unflagging zeal, Lord, we would continue to serve you all week long. Hear our prayers, O Lord, as only you can. And we thank you, Lord, that we can ask these prayers in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Many of us will know the story of the two followers of Jesus who were walking from Jerusalem to the village in Emmaus when he came alongside and asked them what they were talking about. And of course, they didn't recognize him. And it wasn't until he broke bread with them actually in their house in Emmaus that they realized that it was Jesus himself that had come alongside. And so excited were they, of course, that they then rushed back from Emmaus all the way to Jerusalem to find the disciples. And that's where we pick up our Bible reading from this morning, from Luke chapter 24. So if you'd like to turn to it or follow it on the screen or locate it on your device, please do. And we're picking it up from verse 35.
Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.
You know, if I think this next song had been written way back when those two followers of Jesus had been hurriedly travelling back from Emmaus to Jerusalem, I'm sure they would have been singing this. And it's, I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Let's sing this together. How I know he lives within my heart. Hallelujah. This morning then, waiting on God's promises. And really, I want to just talk around that verse, that last verse that Dawn read for us earlier. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. As a little boy, I remember my mum had a little box sitting on her sideboard. Inside were lots of rolled up pieces of paper, stood up on their ends, filling the box like a honeycomb. Occasionally, I would take off the lid and remove some of these little tubes and unroll them. And written on each one was a promise from the Bible. Things like God saying, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And if the sun sets you free, you will be free indeed. Of course, as a little boy, I didn't understand the words written on these pieces of paper. It was just fun just to lift them out and unroll them and just watch my mum as she was aghast as she came in and found all these little bits of paper unrolled and lying all over the floor. But you know, as you grow up, you mature in your faith. These promises become something to hold on to, something to treasure in your heart. God doesn't make a promise that he cannot keep. And however, many of God's promises, they come with conditions attached, like seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he'll give you everything you need, which is basically saying we can rely on God for everything we need only if we are holding on to his values, pursuing his purposes, and submitting to his authority. And we also see a condition attached to the promise that God made the disciples in Luke 24. God promised that he would send his Holy Spirit, but the disciples had to stay in Jerusalem. And we saw last week, Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection, giving final instructions to the disciples before he was taken from them and ascended to heaven. Then they had to wait a further 10 days until the festival of Pentecost, celebrating the harvest of God's blessings. Before God's promise, the Holy Spirit filled them, which we read about in the beginning of Acts chapter 2. And this morning, I want to tell you that it's okay and often necessary to wait. If God has promised something, then so long as we stick to his conditions, that promise will be fulfilled. None of us like waiting, especially me. And is there any wonder when today's society demands everything now? From an instant reply to an email, to the purchase of the latest gadget. We want it, and it must be now. Sometimes during the day, I don't even have even enough time to breathe, let alone make a cup of coffee, always dashing from one thing to another, always because I've been sucked into that mindset of, I need to sort this now. Don't get me wrong. There are some things that demand our immediate attention. I mean, if the fire alarm goes off when we're not expecting it, then it would be unwise to say, maybe give it a few minutes and I'll see if it stops. I guess what I'm trying to say is we all need to be wise and discern what our priorities are and what can wait until later. It's all part of that work-life balance. Or maybe I should have said part of that God work-life balance. Certainly, waiting for God to fulfill his promises is not a singular occurrence in the Bible. Look at Abraham. God promised him that he would make him into a great nation in Genesis 12, and his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky in Genesis 15. But he had to wait until he was 100 before his son Isaac was born. God promised a land flowing with milk and honey to Moses and the Israelite nation. We see he did keep that promise, but due to the Israelite disobedience and constant grumbling, it took over 40 years, and only two men who originally heard God's word, Joshua and Caleb, got to cross the Jordan into the land God was providing. Joseph, he had many periods of waiting, slavery, jail, before his brothers bowed down to him in Egypt. And I love this one, Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die until he'd seen the Messiah in Luke chapter 2. And God kept that promise. As on the very day that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord, the Spirit led Simeon to the temple. We read that Simeon took the child in his arms and praise God. Listen to what he said. Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of all your people Israel. Oh, I love those words. Jesus, the light of the world, come to reveal Father God to us. You know, this morning we can shout with the crowds in heaven. Salvation comes from God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. We can worship with the angels as they agree to that by singing Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to God forever and ever. Amen. And I guess if we'd all been in the same building this morning, I would have heard maybe an amen from you or a hallelujah. And that's one of the downsides of us all being muted, I guess. But it's wonderful, isn't it, that we can get excited over the things of God. And I can get excited, even though I can't move up and down the platform this morning and jump up and down. I can get excited here. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to God forever and ever. Isn't that exciting? It excites me. God keeps his promises. And if you've received a promise from the Lord over your life and you're still waiting, then hold on to it. Grasp it firmly with the assurance that God will make it come to pass. So, what does waiting on God look like? Well, it certainly doesn't mean doing nothing. This is what Joyce Meyer wrote in one of her articles about waiting on God. He is not asking us to do nothing. He wants us to have an attitude of expectancy regarding what he is doing. He wants us to be hopeful and expect him to do a marvelous work in our lives. He wants us to thank him for what he is doing, even before we see it with our natural eyes. And that's faith right there, isn't it? Let's take a look at what the disciples were doing during their 10 days wait for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Well, firstly, I see they were meeting together. When the apostles arrived back in Jerusalem after seeing Jesus ascend to heaven, it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 13, they went to the upstairs room. And then on in verse 14, they all met together. Verse 15, during this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place. And then at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. One of the things the pandemic over the last 18 months has shown us is how important social interaction is. I think this was one of the things that we took for granted. Before COVID, there was virtually no restrictions on our movements or on the people we could meet and hug. We have seen we lose something precious if we don't regularly spend time with others. It's been a really challenging time, hasn't it, for everyone, including the church, where a large part of what we're about as Christians is fellowship with one another. We've all had to find new ways of meeting together, and it's fantastic to be able to share together like this using technology. God is not limited by time, space, or matter. He exists outside of all these things, and he can meet us wherever we are. Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. When we gather to proclaim the name of Jesus, he promises to be there with us. How wonderful is that? This morning, as we're meeting, King Jesus is present with each one of us, even when we're here on Zoom. So, second, I see they were praying together. Acts 1, verse 14. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer. The King James Version says they continued with one accord in prayer. In other words, they were all of the same mind. The Greek here literally means they had the same passion. And I think we do get a sense of them being passionate in their praying. You know, we need to come together in united, passionate praying for our lives and for those around us. But prayer can be hard work at times, and I get the fact that for some, it can be a really difficult thing to do, especially if you are asked or expected to pray out loud. You know, I found a great starting point is to pray over scripture. Grab something from a psalm, maybe, to get you going, dwell on a verse or two, repeat it a few times. So completely at random, or so I thought, my Bible opened and my eyes were drawn to Psalm chapter 3, verse 3. And it says this: "But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory and the one who holds my head high." Thank you, Jesus, that you completely surround me and you're my constant protector. Thank you for reminding me that I can have confidence in you, especially when I'm going through a hard time. And you know, Jesus is longing for you to just simply talk to him. No fancy words or structures, just simply chatting like the friend he is, anywhere, anytime, any place. So if you want to deepen your relationship with God, pray more. If you want to be equipped and empowered for all God has for you, pray more. If you want to see the Holy Spirit really at work in your life and the life of our fellowship, pray more. Prayer should not be something we just do on Sundays or for a couple of minutes when we remember. It should be a vital part of our everyday life. And it's no coincidence that Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, after telling us to put on the full armor of God so we can stand firm in our faith, finishes by saying, "Pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." And if we're praying for each other every day, we'll all be protected when the enemy tries to get in and destroy things. We will have the strength to overcome, be victorious, and see God break through in extraordinary ways. So why not join us on Zoom on our prayer meeting? There's no requirement to pray out loud. Just come along and be part of our gathering together as we seek God. As well as praying on your own in your personal quiet times, maybe a prayer partner might work for you if you don't already have one. A friend you can meet with either online, in person, or on a telephone call. Just get together and pray and encourage one another. Make it a regular part of your week and just watch what God does. Thirdly, I see them sorting out the practicalities. They were just getting on with life the best they could. And at the end of Acts chapter 1, we see them finding a new apostle to replace Judas. Just like there were 12 tribes of Israel, the apostles felt the need for them to have 12 appointed leaders to oversee the new move that God was promised. So as we slowly emerge from this period of lockdown, there are many practical things we need to consider for our own lives individually and as a church. Some of these are not going to be easy. I believe God has given us and the wider church a reset and rethink moment, a time to consider what we are really about, helping people of all ages to find and follow Jesus. Now, what is that going to look like going forward? How are we going to realize that in our own lives, in the new world we're going to find ourselves in? Big questions. And I, for one, don't have the answers. But I know who does. The disciples found themselves in a new world after Jesus ascended to heaven. And look what happened to them. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. How did that day turn out? Well, about 3,000 new Christians were baptized and added to the church. How amazing is that? We all need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to carry out the work I know he has for each one of us. Peter preached that the promised gift of the Holy Spirit is for you and for your children. In fact, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Ask Jesus today to fill you anew. Ask for a fresh anointing of his power in and over your life. Then when you've been refilled, refreshed and renewed, maybe ask him to reveal to you how you can help someone to find and follow Jesus. Let's continue to wait on God's promises for the wonderful things he has in store for us. God's promise to never leave us. And if we seek his kingdom above all else, he'll provide for all we need. That's two promises I'm holding tightly on to. What about you? Heavenly Father, this morning, as we've just looked at your word, as we've just spent time together reminding ourselves of just a few of the promises that there are in your word, Lord, help us to hold on to those. Help us, Lord, to realize those in our own lives. Lord, and if you've given us a specific promise that has not yet been fulfilled, help us, Lord, to remember that it's in your timing. Help us to remember this morning that you are a God who, when you make a promise, you keep it. And Father, this morning, I just pray for us as a fellowship that you will just bless us. Lord, help us to begin to work out what it means to help people of all ages to find and follow you as we move forward into the new things that I know you have for each and every one of us. In your name I ask it. Amen. And it might be no surprise this morning that we're going to finish with really the only hymn that we could possibly have to end the service after talking about God's promises. And it's the hymn, Standing on the Promises. Let's sing it together as we close our service.
Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God.
And now may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace, now and forevermore. Amen.